Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Take Two in the World of Podcasting proudly present to you the WWE Tag Team Super Fans of the World, the Dream Craig Machine, the Badass Johnny P, Take Two Takedown.
And if you're not down with Take Two Takedown, we got two words for you.
Suck it!
Welcome back, folks. Episode 27. Craig, how do you feel?
I think I've come down from the WrestleMania high of the entire week. But then as soon as we come down, then new things occur this week.
We have the shakeup.
The shakeup! The superstar shakeup! Nobody knew where they were going. What's happening? Who's going where? We don't know.
But we're going to get into it. Episode 27 of Take Two Takedown is getting laid.
Getting laid. And we want to welcome all of our listeners, all of our followers, especially anybody that found us new from our friends at Alleged Wrestling Podcast, from Busted Wide Open, from The Wrestling Life, all those crossovers we did during WrestleMania week. If you're now listening to us, first, we're sorry. We apologize that, you know.
You're late to the party.
Right, exactly. Shame on you, but welcome now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we always welcome new friends.
We do. You can follow us on Twitter at Take Two Takedown.
We should probably give them a disclaimer, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah.
If you did come from, like, Busted Wide Open or The Wrestling Life, two highly educated shows.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be solely disappointed in us.
Solely disappointed.
Notice I didn't say the Alleged Wrestling Podcast.
No, they may know more, but they're not more intelligent than us.
And
does that make sense?
Pretty much better looking than all of them.
Oh, well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think it has to do with our American healthcare system.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. All our benefits.
All our benefits. Woohoo! Yay! Summer. Oh. But we also have a way that you, as the fans, can get in contact with us. We have our mailbag segment.
We do.
We do. Our triple tea bag.
Yes.
You can email us at tripletbag@gmail.com. And the best letters of the week we read every week on the show. And we have a letter this week.
From who, sir?
This letter is from Davey B. Smith. Name sounds familiar.
Pretty familiar. I think it's like lineage.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Let's read the letter.
All right. End all be all. Let's put our hot coffee away.
All right. Good call. Good call.
And
hide it.
And anybody here wearing snakeskin?
Everybody back up. Damn it. Take off my shoes.
All right.
I'm always wearing the snakeskin boots, you know.
Look at that small reference. We know way too much about it.
Way too much. Letter says, subject, you've been teabagged.
Ooh.
I haven't heard you discuss this on the show yet. If so, please disregard. If not, what are your views on Conor McGregor possibly joining WWE? After his recent legal issues with the UFC and the recent success of Ronda Rousey making the jump, is it more or less likely? He would make a great couple matchup with Becky Lynch. Sorry, John. And a big matchup with him and John Cena could easily headline a pay-per-view. He would be a charismatic heel for sure. Thoughts? Davey B. Smith.
Ooh. Excellent question.
Excellent question, Davey.
One, approached by our friends at Alleged Wrestling Podcast.
Yes.
Two-bit.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about it. And
they do.
They talk about it tongue-in-cheek, where they talk about the temper tantrum that Conor McGregor throws, and he's hurting other fighters, and I mean, you know, as a fan, I don't want anybody, any professional athlete or anyone getting hurt. But still kind of liked it.
But when we go into the real world, we don't want anyone hurt. We don't want people were having lacerations on their faces and like glass in their eye. We don't want any of that. But in the world of heel work,
yeah,
that was beautiful.
In kayfabe, I'll take it.
I will take that.
But with that being said, yeah, I think it would be interesting to bring him in as a wrestler, but I don't know, one, if he can separate real and fake world.
We have trouble with that with Brock Lesnar, I think, sometimes. Yeah. I feel Conor McGregor would often forget he's in wrestling and not in the octagon.
Two, I think with a, we'll say talent,
mm-hmm.
like Conor McGregor, what type of heartache, headaches, pain, and misery is the WWE going to contract when they pay for this person? I mean, if he's subject to these type of flare-ups,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you really, Conor McGregor and the money he makes during UFC fights and just mm-hmm. on the name alone,
mm-hmm.
can WWE afford it?
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, you have the contract that they would have money-wise. You have the contract with, at least with UFC, they can say, hey, you're violating this. We're not going to let you fight. You're doing this. But if he does anything like that similar in wrestling, it's more like he seems like the type of person that would be like, well, you want me to be the heel. I'm being the heel. He's just doing it in real life as opposed to
right.
KFAB. So that's where I think you're going to run into the issue. Like you said, that sort of differentiation between him going too far and like...
Like, I think one of the biggest problems is, at least with a Conor McGregor, is an ego issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where he feels that he is too big and, like, he's not going to let a Roman Reigns get over on
him. No, he would never let anyone get over on him, I don't think.
So, and then, now that we've talked for reals,
mm-hmm.
a few things I need to talk to one DB Smith here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If any mixed match challenge outside of Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch ever happens,
mm-hmm.
I will be her partner.
Oh, got it.
Because I love Becky
Lynch. John and Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Next 2019's mixed match challenge.
The phenomenal P-Funk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling. And the last kicker.
Yes.
Got it.
That's done.
That's handled. That's already finished. In writing. Got it.
Now, if all the real stuff aside,
mm-hmm.
you get a character like Conor McGregor into... WWE, I think Ronda Rousey has set
mm-hmm.
a bar where like, you got to be able to hang yourself in the ring, but you also got to do a lot of acting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's not so hot on the acting. Now, I think with time, she will get better and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
She was great in her match with the McMahons.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, I call Triple H a McMahon.
He is a McMahon. Yeah, he definitely needs to take her name, right?
Like, yeah, that's kind of a given. He ditched his way into that relationship.
Right, and their children should be called McMahons. Right.
Like just McMahon 1, 2, and 3.
Right, yeah.
What it is. Mm-hmm. But, so, I think you have to, because what they did with Shayna Baszler and even Sonya Deville,
mm-hmm.
where they brought them up through NXT and gave them that time to learn how to do the acting, the entertainment part right. of the sports.
Right.
Really helped develop them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that there is a much better finished product if you give them time to develop in something like NXT.
Right. And I think as we discussed with people having somebody like Roman Reigns or someone like go over Conor McGregor, I think you're going to run into that same issue. If you say, hey, we need you, McGregor, to go through NXT and sort of build up, he's not going to do that.
No.
He's going to want to come in and basically do exactly what Ronda Rousey did, which is come in and his first match be WrestleMania, the biggest event they have.
Absolutely. So,
mm-hmm.
speaking of Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
Speaking of Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Let's talk about Raw.
Let's talk about Raw Shakeup. So there are many ways we can do this. Do we just go through everyone that is now on Raw and then talk about the show?
Well, I don't feel we have to list so much. We can talk about when they come up, when
gotcha.
They get announced,
gotcha.
Or how they get announced. But mm-hmm. I feel if we go through the list, you can just find that on WWE.
That's true. That's true. We are here to offer our insight,
yeah.
opinion, our yeah. loves and hates.
And if we sat there and we started talking about all the people that got called up, we're going to talk about, that sucked.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this shakeup.
The only thing I'm going to say all-inclusive is SmackDown now has the talent roster to be the A show.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So,
which I'm very surprised at, because Raw has always been the big dog, I think would be the proper term for it.
Well, it's his yard.
Mm-hmm, it is. That's always been like the show, Raw. And SmackDown, I think, was kind of this Cinderella darling that came up and got really popular all of a sudden yeah. and then sort of fell. And now they put a whole bunch of talent over at SmackDown, so...
We'll see where it goes.
We'll see.
So speaking of the shakeup,
mm-hmm.
Raw starts out with Grandpa Kurt Angle coming
right.
out
mm-hmm.
and saying, hey, we all know what's going to happen. It's the shakeup. And we go from there.
And we get the very first one, which is Jinder Mahal coming out with his U.S. Championship he has now brought to Raw. Like, I did not... I mean, that was a good way to start right. the shakeup.
So, with Jinder Mahal coming out on Raw,
mm-hmm.
that's one.
One. That's one.
Now, already on Raw and not said to have gone to SmackDown is Heath Slater. That's two.
That's two. That's
and then
two.
We'll get into number three because we know what's coming up. But Jinder comes out. He's bitching and whining that he wants some special treatment because he is a U.S. champ and you asked for me to come to you.
Right.
I'm bringing this belt to you.
You had a car pick me up instead of a limo.
You know I only ride in a limo. Jinder, your promos suck. And then he issues an open challenge to U.S. champ.
Right, exactly. And then Kurt Angle says, all right, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal's a little, he's like, wait, no.
I haven't warmed up. I didn't know.
Right. Exactly. You didn't know what was going to happen.
Came out in his full wrestling tights and everything, but.
But.
I wasn't ready to wrestle.
No. But then who comes out?
Jeff freaking Hardy
comes out, which now all of a sudden he's back. We're okay with whatever happened with him. We're okay. That doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know if you noticed, but on Raw and SmackDown, they really don't let him talk on the mic.
No, they don't.
He just comes out, wrestles his 6'4" lanky body around.
Right. He does that little weird dance walk down the ramp, and we're good.
And it was a good match.
It was.
Jeff Hardy wins, gets the belt, which we automatically know means Jeff Hardy is getting transferred to SmackDown.
Yes, exactly. But right away, Jinder calls for his rematch for the belt again at what has now been designated by Alleged Wrestling as the Oil Rumble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
In Jebediah, Saudi Arabia? Jebediah?
Sure.
It's close enough.
One of the guys from Beverly Hillbillies.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Okay. But I like the fact that Jeff Hardy takes the belt. He now goes over to SmackDown, and there's some new heat on that belt.
Which is good, because they've been doing that rotating cast of people fighting for that U.S. Championship for a good, 2 months now that they needed to change.
And we'll get into it when we get into SmackDown, because he delivers the belt to SmackDown in an interesting way. I like.
Yes.
So, but immediately after, Jinder starts cutting this interview with Renee.
Rachel, I believe he calls her.
Yeah, Rachel. And in the back, we see the conga line.
I don't know why I love No Way Jose so much. But not even his wrestling, just this shtick.
Yeah, but I mean, he comes in, he's like, Jinder, you need to calm down, man. Come join the conga line. And that's where Jinder announces, I want my rematch.
Right, and then, of course, No Way Jose takes Renee with him down the conga line.
Oh, yeah, you want to dance?
Yeah.
I love dancing. So, and then that leads us into the next match where it's Bayley versus Sasha Banks. And we think we're going to get a big finish to all this.
Finally, we'll be done with this. It will be squashed.
All of us marks are like, okay, you're going to do this on a Raw match. And okay, but we figure we're going to get an end.
Right. We get all the way to...
First things first.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was Bayley wearing around her neck in her ring attire?
She was obviously the Green Power Ranger.
It was either that, I came up with satellite dish.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sunscreen for a windshield.
Ooh, yes. Maybe she needed to get some, you know how people used to have like those things that they would use to get tan on their face alone?
She got the glow.
Yeah, she got one of those.
She got the glow.
You've got that glow.
But.
You feel it so when you got that glow.
I've come to realize that Sasha and Bayley are not friends with ring ropes. They can't seem to not hit them or stay on them to save their lives.
It was obvious that Bayley wanted to get on the corner, jump. I'm assuming do some sort of flip.
She was going to do the back spring elbow.
Right.
And slipped off the rope.
Right.
Now, I got to say, our boy Corey Graves totally sold it as the emotion level with Bayley is so high that she just missed that rope.
Yeah.
And then Sasha came over and cleaned it up. Right. They did well.
If you hadn't been watched wrestling for a while, you may not have picked up on the fact that that wasn't supposed to happen. You might have been like, you would have known like, oh no, she slipped like this. Not like, she slipped. She didn't mean to slip. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
But I mean, they did a good save on it, but I mean, we could tell.
Yes.
And then the match develops. It's a good match again.
It's a good match. It gets to the point where Bayley is in the bank statement, like center of the ring. You're waiting for the tap to happen. Like, this is finally going to be over.
Yeah, but it didn't.
It did it.
It turns into a beatdown.
From who?
The Riot Squad.
The Riot Squad comes.
With two T's. So the Riot Squad on Raw now.
That's now we had...
Does
five, six?
I don't know. Count them as one.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it because, like I said before in our prior shows, I am becoming a fan of Ruby Riott.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Liv Morgan is highly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoon Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks.
Sarah Morgan?
Sarah Moore.
I wouldn't mind seeing a raccoon Sasha Banks, but that's fine.
Well, I don't get... All right. I don't get what's with the eye makeup in WWE. Like, you have to have so much that it goes from your forehead to your chin if you're a female wrestler.
I don't get it.
No bueno.
No bueno.
Stop.
Stop it.
Anyway.
Unless you're Nia Jax, because then you're cool with that eye makeup.
God, she's got beautiful eyes. Yeah, every time you bring her up, I have to say that.
I have to say that.
But, so they come out, we're introduced to the Riott Squad. I'm excited. I think there's a lot more talent and a lot more story capability with them in Raw.
Yes. Knowing also, and I think in the entire idea of thinking of the Superstar Shakeup with what happened last week with Paige becoming general manager of SmackDown, I think we all sort of assumed Absolution was going to go to SmackDown because that just makes more sense.
Right.
So obviously then Riott Squad will come to Raw.
Like, but as we were starting to add new people to the Raw roster,
mm-hmm.
I started counting all the attractive blonde wrestlers that started going to Raw, which is Vince's baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's getting his stable back.
he's getting his stable of blonde women back.
At the end of Raw, they were all on Raw except for Charlotte.
Right, right.
And I think he's like, sacrificial lamb. I can let her stay over there. I can still dream about her. Just have her dad bring her over, bounce her on my knee.
So creepy.
See, well, Vince isn't the most ethical of people.
Right, right.
So, then we get into...
Heath Slater and Rhino versus now coming up from NXT, Authors of Pain.
All right, so the week before, Authors of Pain come out to the introduction, and they destroy Slater and Rhino.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Slater and Rhino call him out and say, we want a rematch. We want to prove how tough we are and all that. And AOP fucking kills them again.
They do. Though I will say, in recent times, I want to say in the past 3 months, this is probably the most energetic I've seen Rhino in a very long time.
He spoke.
Moving. He was speaking. And going into the section of things my wife say during wrestling, she said, I feel like Rhino had an energy drink version of Viagra because he was actually moving. he had energy. Like
Rhino on Viagra.
Rhino on energy drink Viagra. Maybe he had a bang.
What I'm going to say is the AOP for 2 weeks now has come out to a really strong intro. They're making them beasts, you know, and I love it.
Yes.
Like the tag team division at Raw was just vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And to have somebody like AOP come up and they're keeping them strong, I love it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I absolutely love it.
Exactly.
So then we get into probably one of my favorite parts of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where the Miz.
The good old Miz. Miz TV is back.
He comes out and he's starting this promo about all this great stuff going on with The Miz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And who comes out?
Who comes out? He's saying he is bringing these people to Raw.
Yes.
Because that's what he's doing. Because he, apparently, much like Lana, also decides matches and talent that work on shows.
Yeah, well, he brings talent.
Right.
So who comes out?
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
And what transpires because of this?
So he brings them out. We're having a big group hug. Miz, Taraj, KO, Zayn,
yay,
we're all together. Yay,
we love you.
Yay, fun. Then Angle comes out.
Whoa, guys. You both didn't finish the match. You both got counted out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have contracts. You're not wrestlers. So what does Sammy do? He pulls out an email.
Yeah.
Then he proceeds to mimic me.
Right,
which I took as, you know, copying is the greatest form of flattery. So I was very flattered when Sami Zayn took out his old man glasses.
Yes.
Puts them on his face, as I am doing now, to make Craig laugh. And proceeds to read, Dear Kurt Angle, you dick.
Yeah.
I'm the boss. These two get to wrestle. Suck it.
Yeah.
Sincerely, Stephanie McMahon. I think I may have paraphrased a little bit there.
Nope. I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
But
that was great. That was beautiful. And then you have...
Let's go back to... how the fuck does Stephanie get over in an email?
I don't know.
In that email, she basically puts herself over by saying, Kurt, I'm the boss. I make the decisions. I'm the great deciderer here.
I'm the deciderer.
She puts herself over in a freaking email. This woman is a genius. Yep. We as fans yell and argue about how Stephanie always puts herself over. She invented wrestling. She gives all these opportunities to these women because she's such a gracious hostess. But end all be all, she can use a piece of paper and a whole different wrestler to get herself over.
Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. Woman is a freaking genius.
And I know we knock on Grandpa Angle's acting.
He did well this week.
His facial expressions, though, for this, the sadness in his face as he realizes what this email is telling him, which is basically, you're my bitch. This is what's happening.
So, but he says, fine, big kick in the nuts, Miz. And just Miz,
yes.
You're going to SmackDown. Right.
And the Miz Raj and him are like, oh, what? Huh? What's happening?
Yep. But not until we have a final match for you, Miz. A
final 10-man tag team match.
The Miz Raj, KO, and Sami Z going against whatever dream team Kurt put together.
Ooh.
But we know it's going to have Seth Rollins and Finn Balor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We know Seth Rollins. We know Finn Balor. We know Braun Strowman.
Run!
And then we know Bobby Lashley. But this fifth person...
Weird kind of dynamic.
Who are they going to be?
Who knows? We'd be rude in telling you who it was if you didn't watch the show.
So rude.
Oh, so rude. So then we get some crap promo from Wyatt and Matt Hardy.
Oh, my gosh.
Where...
Are they just going to be...
I think
Bray Wyatt and Matt, are they going to be the Wokens? What are they?
I think we're getting, because it's been referred to last week and this week, that Bray Wyatt is now a Woken Bray Wyatt.
So Woken Wyatt.
And if you saw from that shit promo they did, it's supposed to be the dark meeting the light. And then when they come down the ring, they go from the light of Matt Hardy into the dark of Bray Wyatt, back into the light of Matt Hardy. I think there was some subliminal shit and some magic artsy-fartsy stuff where they're trying to tell you they're going to blend the dark and the light. One, the promo they cut, they couldn't blow out a fucking push-button lantern together.
Couldn't do it. Correct.
Two, the walk down to the ring promo was so disjointed and broken that it was horrible.
Did you do that on purpose? Broken?
No, I didn't. But now that I hear it. I am woken to the broken problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that was so disjointed that it was awful.
Yeah. I feel it's better to do Bray Wyatt darkness come out
into
first.
Into the light.
Then
good team in the ring.
They are. Aren't they?
Yeah.
And now they're fighting the Bar at the Oil Rumble.
Yep. They're the contender match.
Mm-hmm.
The Bar's on commentary. They're all pissed. But, I mean... It forces the Bar at the Oil Rumble for the title.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought I hated nothing more than the whole Woken shtick.
Right.
What the flying fuck? And I've been using the F word a lot this episode because I've had a lot of what the F moments. Was this lip sync promo that the WWE decided to say, hey, we're going to start mashing our pay-per-views together because we're losing money on separate pay-per-views.
Oh.
But they're all lip syncing. And then that fucking horse face Carmella come out in the middle and go, I need a bottle of water, and then gallop off like the fucking pony she is.
Oh,
my God. It's so goddamn awful.
And the thing is, while I will give the fact that none of them, except for Elias, are any type of singer, I feel this would have at least been more entertaining if you just let them actually sing, because then you would have had funny involved in it. You would have had Sheamus and Cesaro singing together. That would have been funny to me. But you didn't go funny. You went, let's lip sync. And what am I supposed to download the song on iTunes? I don't understand.
This is not good. Stop it.
What is worse?
Okay.
Lip sync to We Are the World for future pay-per-views, or
Paige's "She Just Woke Up Out of Some Drug-Induced Coma" intro to a trailer for her movie, which doesn't show much of the movie, just actually shows The Rock. Which is worse?
This is tough.
It's tough.
I'm going to go with, I'd rather watch suffer through Paige for 10 seconds mm-hmm. to get a minute-long promo from The Rock.
Got it.
Then watch these wrestlers mm-hmm. lip sync.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, the only saving grace about that whole promo was the song was somewhat decent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If I closed my eyes and didn't have to see the debacle that was on my television,
right.
I could have almost stomached it. But watching Alexa Bliss dance around was pretty okie dokie.
The thing with that Paige promo, though, and I know we've talked about it, I don't understand the start promo, wait 10 seconds, then Paige talks while we look at her weird let me wake up face. Like, why did you not cut out that silence?
Yeah.
Why are we looking at her just,
I'm back. It's like, oh, God, what the hell? And I'm waiting for some creepy poltergeist thing to start. And it's this thing for a movie she's in?
Yeah.
That made about her.
Yeah, that they made about her and her family.
Let's get into something I like more.
Uh-huh.
Guess who's on Raw now?
Who?
The Fashion Police.
The Fashion Police.
Fandango and Tyler Breeze.
Giving tickets to the bar.
Yeah, for crappy hair.
Crappy hair. And what is this, a skirt? What are you wearing? Camouflage just goes with nothing.
Camouflage has never been trendy, but I like it. I think it brings that comedic value back to Raw, and you can tell they're really pushing a tag team effort now. They heard the fans. They realized that the tag team division is dead.
Yes.
On Raw, and they're breathing new life. Mm-hmm. Like I said from WrestleMania, Braun Strowman getting the belts, going over with Nicholas, really reset the whole tag division on Raw.
Which I think is good. They needed to do that, and that was actually an interesting way to shake it up, to steal a word from what's happening, to make it, you know, to start from scratch, basically.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the Fashion Police, and then we get somebody else.
Yes?
We get the cat lady herself. Natalia.
Natalia, with her best friend, Ronda Rousey.
They trained together.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew that. They trained together. And I don't know if you've known this, but on Twitter, since the announcement of Natalia going to Raw, I have seen nothing but Piper and Bret Hart pictures. Just like, remember, now, you know, we do honor the birthday of Piper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was this week. And we, you know, you and I celebrated in our own ways. I was wearing my Piper pit.
I was too.
And we basically yelled incoherent, kind of Scottish things at each other.
And I just wore sunglasses all day so that I could see all of the evil aliens.
And neither one of us were chewing bubblegum the whole day.
Nope.
No.
We're all out of it.
Yep. So there we had to kick
so gas. Many deep jokes that we're throwing into this episode.
And so, sorry guys, if you're new and you don't get it, live with it. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But Natalia comes out, has a match. Rousey comes out to save her.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's Natalia, and then you get Sonya Deville coming in to attack her. So then Ronda Rousey comes out. Attack Sonya Deville, which I thought was good.
What a great combination.
Like,
and Deville sold it. Like, she went down like a sack of frickin' taters. I was like, that's awesome. And I'm a big fan of Sonya Deville.
Mm-hmm.
I like her as a wrestler. I liked her when she was coming up through NXT. I liked her when they called her up. Granted, little rough edges here and there, but she is going to be great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for her to take that bump, all those bumps all from Ronda Rousey and sell it, it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm starting to worry about, though, is the WWE going to go more UFC style, where they're going to allow, you know, real strikes, not for real strikes where they are meant to hurt your opponent, but, you know, in kayfab, WWE, you can't throw a closed fist, you can't do jabs, punches, or anything like that. That's why they have the, you know, English uppercut or the Swedish Superman punch or whatever this stuff is.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just... A little concerned. See a little something coming up.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
But I like the little pluck. I think you could build a nice, quick little rivalry with Sonya Deville and Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Get Rousey over a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to let Sonya get some hits in. She can't just keep going down.
She can't just keep getting hit like that.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of a great bump sponge.
Yes.
Mickie James. Mickie James comes out, and she is going to face Ember Moon.
Yeah.
This is all fallout from the tag team match between Nia Jax, Ember Moon versus Mickie James and Alexa Bliss.
Right. Nia Jax is sitting there on commentary. Alexa Bliss was supposed to come out too, but she's too scared.
No, because Nia's a bully.
Nia's a bully, obviously. When you're, you know, this is turning the whole story around, and even, you know, I enjoy that, this little thing. Keep it going for a little while. That's fine. But the Ember Moon Mickie James match, like,
holy shit, that was amazing. So Mickie James, we have sung her praises of selling.
Yes.
Like, she is probably one of the top in her game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ember Moon hits that eclipse, Mickie James takes it like it sent her to the other side of the ring, I was just up out of my seat going, oh my God, Mickie James, you are freaking phenomenal.
Like, that, that looked so good. Like, you, every once in a while you see moves like that, you're like, you know, when they show an Ember Moon highlight reel, that that move right there is going to be shown. That move against Mickie James Monday night is going to be shown, because that was done so well by both of them. Like, it looked literally, like you said, she threw her across the ring. Like, that's how good it looked. Like,
so the eclipse is badass as it is.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But for Mickie to sell it like that, like, that sent the eclipse into, like you said, WWE Forever highlight reel.
Yeah.
Like, as we are introducing and we're grading this great history of diversity, here are our women stars that allowed this to happen. Like, my kids will watch this down the road. They will see that, and I'll be like, that was an awesome move, but what made it even better was the sell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And proud dad moment here. I'm teaching my 11-year-old, who is just now starting to get into wrestling, about what bumps are, what selling is, what kayfabe is, all this stuff. And when I watched it and I showed it back to him, I said, this is what is considered a great sell. Watch how this wrestler not only takes the move, but sells it like she's dead in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And my kid goes, so is that what you're calling a flop? I'm like, that's not a flop. That is a total sell.
Exactly.
A flopping face forward on the mat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
But that was a total sell. Yeah. Mickie James, you are a goddess in my world.
I agree. That, I
still hate the pockets.
Of course. Those are useless and unnecessary. That reminded me of, and I'm sorry that nobody saw this, but when we went to that WWE live event in Fairfax, and you had that sell from Aiden English to the phenomenal forearm of AJ Styles to end the live event. Like, that, he somehow, Aiden English ended up on his head.
But wait. We'll talk Aiden.
Oh, yes, we'll talk Aiden.
Because he had a phenomenal sell this week, too.
I think we may need to put some sort of Twitter poll up on this. But I feel that the two best sellers in all of WWE are Mickie James and Aiden English.
I don't think I can argue that. Right. I might throw in a Ziggler in his heyday,
but
right now.
Yeah, right now I would think they would be the two best you have.
I might have to, yeah.
We'll have to put that up. We'll have to see what other, if you have any other ideas of who you think are also excellent sellers, let us know. At Take Two Takedown, we can put up a little poll, see what the audience thinks is who's the best.
So then we get this little pop of Sammy and KO talking strategy about for their 10-man and what they can do and all that crap.
And the Miz saying, look, this is my final Raw match. This is very important. It needs to be about me and me winning.
Yeah.
Like, which is great.
Yeah, didn't happen. But
Didn't happen, but whatever.
So then we get the announcement. We get our fifth person to Raw.
Right. Speaking of all of the beautiful blondes coming to Raw like Vince McMahon wants.
He brings Ziggler over.
He brings Dolph Ziggler and his perm over. Which, another thing to add into things my wife says during wrestling.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it is now getting a little more popular in the world of men getting perms. And I think this is all because of Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler's a trendsetter,
He's
baby.
A trendsetter. Him and those Cricket Wireless commercials.
Puffed out perm and I'm on fire. Yes, you are, girl. And that's not because of the venereal disease I gave you.
No,
no, that's because of a Cricket commercial. So he's out doing the self promo about how he's great and all this, and who would interrupt?
Worldwide.
They come out and they're giving him some shit, and I mean, I don't. Dolph's not a well-liked character.
No.
I mean, I don't know who we bring in for a partner.
I don't know
except
either.
For number three, Drew McIntyre.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh.
And I know this is camera work, but you see them, they're zooming in on Titus, talking about, oh, you need to come to us, Ziggler. Like, join Titus Worldwide with your, you know, ring ability and my charisma. Like, we can make this nice zoomed in tight shot on Titus. And then out of nowhere, just forearm to the back of the head.
Drew McIntyre comes in, huge crowd pop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I like
the idea of Ziggler and McIntyre as a team.
Yeah, I think that's a really good team.
You get two shady heel characters. You get them working together. They both got faces. And, I mean, McIntyre, Slater, and Jinder all in the same show again. Do we get the band back together?
We might.
Heath would love it. Jinder could care less, and McIntyre's probably got his own program altogether. But I'm just saying it's
one
there.
Of those guys is real excited for this idea. Please give me something to do. So, I need another shirt to sell besides I got kids.
So the sixth one to Raw this week is Drew McIntyre.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and then we get what was probably your favorite part of the show, Roman Reigns cutting a promo. Here I am. I'm coming to work. And the crowd boos him.
They do.
It's awesome.
And, like, this is a... It's such a double-edged sword to me sometimes, the crowds. Like, I like when they get involved. I like hearing the yells, the boos, the what...
I'm just laughing sort of because, like, I know where all the boos go and how awesome it was. But keep going.
Like, I love all that. But then there's a part of me that's like, I just want to hear what he has to say, guys. Come on.
But you don't because they're booing so loud.
You can't hear anything.
He's trying to announce his goddamn cage match with Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. And he's getting booed so loud. He's like, cage match.
Mm-hmm.
And... even better, as he's, like, totally getting submarine, they're like, Joe, hurry up, go out there. Joe, hurry up, go out there. Samoa Joe comes out, destroys him on the mic, and the crowd is just like, Samoa Joe! And I was just like, yes, Samoa Joe!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Finally, something I want to listen to. I was thanking the wrestling gods for giving us Samoa Joe. And he killed it.
He did. That whole tease of, you know, Rain says, let's do it right now. Samoa Joe's like, no, I don't want to. Okay, fine, I'll come out, walks like three quarters out, and is like, no, not going to.
No.
And then turns around and goes back.
I'll do it when I want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us into the question for another show, but I want to get into something that was near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The next match,
mm-hmm.
which is a throwaway match.
Right.
But I loved it because it had Natalya and Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
This was Vince's goddess match,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
packaged up and just given to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Natalya wins, which results in an Absolution beatdown.
Right, which results then in the whole thing we're talking about with Rousey.
Comes out mm-hmm. and beats down Deville.
Yeah. And like you said, I think that's good. I don't know. The problem is, I don't really like Natalya. Like, I'm not a huge fan of her.
We've talked about it. We've talked about it, like, she, like I am, and you go back and you start watching the matches with Natalya,
mm-hmm.
and you see her develop. Natalya is a very talented person. She is probably one of the most over and well-known female characters in the WWE universe
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem you and I have is that she is stuck in who she is.
Yeah. And
there is no growth up. Right. There is no growth down. She is just going to be Natalya. Until she either decides to revamp the entire character or she retires.
Or she retires. And I know that she does a lot. She does train the new women that come up. You know, she works with them too. This is how you wrestle for WWE. She does a lot of that stuff.
Are you going to say she's the Dolph Ziggler?
She is the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division, basically, yes.
But I don't know if I can argue that.
Yeah. Like,
and there's nothing wrong with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just sometimes it's when you have someone who's coming up, sometimes she doesn't have a good level to play up to. So therefore she comes down to that level and it's not that exciting.
But I think she wrestled a decent match with Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
Have I seen better from both of them? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was this one pretty good?
Yeah.
Good enough. Then we get the seventh announcement.
Mm-hmm.
The lone wolf is coming.
The lone wolf.
Baron Corbin. Mr. Personality.
Right, right.
So now you got Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. If you put them together, they might be able to cut one good promo.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But so let's see. So now from this, we can get out of this whole weird mix of everyone that was fighting for it before. But now we have Jinder. Now we've brought Baron Corbin over. Now we've brought Dolph Ziggler over.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing over all of the people that were in this mix before that we didn't have.
Yeah, but now you're going to have those faces with the likes of a Seth Rollins, a Finn Balor.
That's what I'm hoping. Exactly.
Sami and KO.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot more interaction with a lot of different things. See, this is what I like about the shakeups is you get these characters, you put them in storylines for a year, year and a half or so, and they get stale. They get boring.
Right.
And you're so tired of watching Jinder Mahal wrestle Randy Orton. Well, we're tired of watching anybody wrestle Randy Orton. Wrestle like a Randy Orton and a Bobby Roode. And, you know, it gets boring. It gets... So you switch up the talent and you get new story. You get new characters. And now I get to see, Jinder Mahal wrestling Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm more excited for it.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What I was really happy about is the Fashion Police have a match against The Bar.
That's going to be good.
Who got over the most in that match?
It was obviously the Fashion Police. Aside from the fact that they even won.
Yeah, but when Cesaro goes to drop Fandango, and he's faking like he's losing his balance, and then he turns it into a hip gyration, I was like, fuck you, Fandango. That's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
I was like, that was like the greatest move I have seen from you in a long time.
And I think this leads me into thinking our dream, you know, we have these dreams of when we lose weight, what we will wear, what we will purchase for ourselves.
I'm not wearing furry boots.
We are, and I think you need to stick with this, when we have lost stomach weight. All right. When that happens,
that's one
years down
muscle.
The road.
One big beer muscle.
We will buy Fashion Police t-shirts.
Done. When I have more than one ab.
Right. When you have more than one giant ab.
I think it's like a shield for the six pack.
Right, right. Yeah, I want to make sure they don't get hurt.
It's like the cooler for the six pack.
Yeah, it's one of those like Arctic coolers, like real thick ones. A Yeti cooler right over top of the six pack.
All right, we get it, okay? You think I'm fat. I mean, you're right.
This is not a I think you, it's a I think we.
Don't hurt. Words hurt.
Words
did
hurt.
We not learn anything from Nia and Bliss's bullying? Okay?
All right.
Stop it.
On to Raw, you crybaby.
How about SmackDown?
Wait, we didn't talk about the final Raw match.
We don't have to.
But we didn't talk about the fifth person that's now here.
Wait, we don't have to.
It's Bobby Roode.
Oh, you're talking about a glorious entrance.
A glorious entrance.
Oh, then we should talk about it. I mean, who cares that it's the likes of the Miztourage, the Miz, Sammy, KO.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the other side, you get Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, and now we got Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode.
Number eight.
The thing that was best about this match, I think, to me, aside from knowing Bobby Roode has now come to Raw, is how it ended with the Miz going to tag his Miztourage in. He goes to tag Curtis Axel. Curtis Axel drops off the ring.
Yeah, he says, you're dead to us.
Exactly. Both of them drop off the ring. Say, we're done. We're not going with you to SmackDown. We're here for ourselves now.
Yeah, we got
to
take care of us.
Which I think is good. They need that.
I like it. It gives them that big heel turn, and it gives them that pop going into becoming their own tag team or wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it a lot. And the match was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was. I liked it a lot. This just makes me love people like Rollins and Balor and Miz even and Bobby Lashley
preach
so much
on,
more.
Brother.
Like,
well, I don't know about Bobby Lashley. But
I like
preach
Bobby
on, brother.
Lashley. That man has some strength out of nowhere.
Yeah, but Bobby Lashley is nothing but one big muscle walking
That's,
in the ring.
I'm okay with that.
It's like watching Cena wrestle.
It is. I'm okay with that.
All right.
All right, but let's get into SmackDown.
Okay.
All right. Now, SmackDown starts with our new U.S. champion. We knew it was probably going to happen anyway.
Well, but...
And then, no, tears are coming down my face.
But, and...
Like, who does Jeff Hardy fight?
But I don't want to talk about it.
They have broken up the Bingeables.
I don't want to talk about it.
The Bingeables now have separated.
Sheldon's out there. He's like, F you, Gable. I heard some great stuff when you went to Raw. And then somebody hacked my account.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I take it all back. I'm out here for just me. And I challenge anyone in the back. And who comes walking out? The Viper.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The Viper comes walking out. Mm-hmm. And he's all cocky and arrogant. And then he's halfway down the ramp. And you hear Hardy's music hit. Hardy, without saying a word, doesn't even look at Randy, just runs by.
Runs right by with his arms
up in the ring, and they start fighting. And Randy, like, I don't know if you see it, but he's just sitting there with, like, that smug look on his face, like, all right, buddy.
All right.
Reminded me of De Niro. Had that De Niro smirk on his
true.
And he's like, you know, I want you out here right now. I want this. I want that. But who answers the call, Craig?
Who?
Who answers the call?
Who?
Rusev!
Rusev Day!
I told you we'd talk about English. Yeah. English has started going from just his beautiful, beautiful baritone voice
mm-hmm.
coming out and singing Rusev Day intros yep. to destroying people on the mic rap style. That's fucking MC English right there.
I love it.
Dropping beats.
I Sick. Love it. I love it. It's so good. The, like...
So
I don't know why I love English like this so much.
I love it.
I love the drama king. But
him and Rusev go in. They start beating down AJ. Who comes out to save AJ?
Who? Yes.
Daniel
yes.
Bryan.
Yes. Yes.
And then we get this promo cut in the back where Renee goes up and Daniel, you saved AJ today. Why would you do that? And Daniel Bryan is all about, well, I respect him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wrestle him. I want him healthy. I want it good. I want to have good matches for our fans at home. And for us to do that, I have to make sure the talent's protected. So I think he's trying to transition back to being a wrestler, but he still has that GM feel.
He does. He does.
So I know I'm going out of order, no, but it all fine. Ties together.
Mm-hmm. How does that also... You have Styles and Bryan there, you know, together.
Yeah.
They've destroyed the Rusev Day.
This announces our main event.
We just have to get into the main event now.
So, Styles and Bryan versus Rusev and English.
Right. Right.
All right.
So they're fighting. They're fight. It's good. I like it. Because I like Styles and Bryan. I just like Bryan anyway.
All right.
And just like
Styles. What I've garnished from this show.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's a line from Aiden English.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where they're talking about their team chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And English says, and I quote, we should celebrate every Rusev Day together.
Together.
And I feel that's what you and I have on this show.
Oh, we do.
That chemistry. You and me, we celebrate Rusev Day every day together.
Every day is Rusev Day.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great match.
Great.
A lot of back and forth.
Yes.
And just when we think Bryan and AJ are going to get over. Mm. Shinsuke's on the edge of the mat. He dick punches AJ for the third time
yeah.
to the point where he's literally wearing AJ like a sock puppet.
Because AJ is actually up on the ring. Nakamura comes out and goes straight uppercut.
Yep.
Like above his head.
Yep. Wears AJ like a sock puppet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's literally tickling the back of AJ's tonsils with his fingertips.
Right. But that's not all.
No.
It's not just Styles
that
gets taken out. Who comes and destroys Bryan?
I don't know if you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't teach 7 foot tall.
You can't because Big Cass comes out.
Big Cass comes out, lays the boot on Bryan, and just... decimates him.
Yeah.
So now I see we're probably going to have a ninth oil match.
Yep. Yep. Probably. Which I like Big Cass. I'm excited that they're bringing him back.
Well,
he needs to get away from Enzo. He needs to do his own thing and separate himself somehow from that.
It's obviously going to be heel Cass.
Yes.
This is your typical Vince McMahon match where it's little guy with all the power behind him
mm-hmm.
fighting the insurmountable giant and Big Cass.
Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope in this time off, Cass has learned how to cut a better promo. Because if we get, there's only one word to describe you,
mm-hmm.
and I will spell it out. S-A- And I mean, here's a guy who studied to be a doctor before becoming a wrestler.
Right.
You'd think he'd be a little more coherent on the mic. Mm-hmm. You think he'd have a little more personality.
I don't know.
And
see, this the problem.
Maybe it was the breakup with Horseface.
Maybe that's what it was.
I don't know.
The problem that I have, though, is I really like the soft bit. And I hope that that doesn't go away. But I don't want Enzo back.
I don't want him either.
Mm-hmm. Which, did you see, by the way, that somebody actually had a sign that said, bring back Enzo?
Yeah.
What? Why?
I think it's like that guy when you're doing your WrestleMania picks and he picks all the other ones, mm-hmm. Nick, from BWO.
Right.
Who picks all the opposite ones just so he can say he was different.
Yes.
And then when they win, Nick, they rub it in your face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I'm just going to say, justifiably so. Nick, you won from BWO.
And we'll get into that with our moment of later.
But anyway. So it's like that guy. Like, I just want to be so against the grain that I can say, look at me. I'm odd. I'm off. You should bring attention to me.
No, we shouldn't.
You know? It's that guy.
It's that guy. You're right.
So, speaking of that guy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How excited were you when they announced Andrade CN Almas coming with Zelina to SmackDown?
That was good. And that's going to be good to have him there. I think both of them together, she is a great manager, I guess you want to call her. Like,
she's the Paul Heyman in the female form.
But she is the Paul Heyman female form who will get in and attack the opponent. Like, Paul Heyman will distract referees.
For those of you who don't know who she is, go back and watch her in NXT.
Yes.
Go back and see the talent that she is. Go back and see how she interacts with the wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
male, female. Go back and just learn who these two people are.
Even if you just go back to this last NXT TakeOver from right before WrestleMania, seeing her there was so good. And you'll realize why she is somebody that is going to be so entertaining on the big roster. Like, I like that. I like that a lot.
I'm so ready for this. And my dream match,
mm-hmm.
I'm wish talking in. Rusev with Lana in the corner versus Andrade with Zelina in the corner.
That's going to be good.
And just watch it go nuts from there.
That is going to be real good.
So, do we want to get back on track or do we just want to go with the way we want to talk?
The way we want to talk. We have more matches, though, Mr. John.
Ooh.
We had the Bludgeon Brother himself, Luke Harper, our favorite Bludgeon Brother.
Yes.
Versus Jey Uso. Is it Jey, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we call it?
Jimmy. One of the Usos.
It's whichever one is married to Naomi.
Yes.
Because she comes out and stops the fight.
Now,
and says, no!
During the match, did you see Luke Harper holding his arm? Like, I genuinely think he hurt his arm.
I think he may have. That wasn't I'm going to pretend this hurts. That wasn't the ubiquitous Ronda Rousey getting thrown into a table. I'm going to hold my arm as if it's hurt. No, I think he really did kind of hurt his arm, which sucks if that's true, because we like Luke Harper.
Hopefully it's just a stinger and he's fine, mm-hmm. but I kind of like the way the match ends. I kind of don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like the drama it builds, like Luke Harper and Mark Rowan are going to straight up murder the Usos.
Right.
And the only thing that saved them this time is the damsel in distress running out, and she's screeching.
Screeching. Like, not Carmella, I'm turning in my money in the bank screeching.
No, this is like Vicky Guerrero, excuse me, where you're just like, oh, God, shut the hell up.
But, I mean, I don't blame her. They pulled out the bludgeons like they were going to beat them with hammers.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, I kind of like that ending. I kind of don't.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes from here.
I like the idea behind it.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it was done.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Speaking of liking the way something was done.
Yes.
Samoa Joe comes out.
Samoa Joe comes
on SmackDown.
Comes to kill a little man.
But, I mean, Samoa Joe comes out to SmackDown, and we're all like, what?
What is happening?
I thought he was feuding with Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So he cuts this promo about how he's just going to destroy whomever, wherever. It doesn't matter what show he's on.
Yep.
And don't worry, I haven't forgot about Roman. I'll get him. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. I'm going to get AJ. I'm going to get Orton. I'm going to get Daniel Bryan. He's ready to destroy them all.
Kill them all. And then they throw like Sin Cara at him and he murders him.
Straight up murders a human being on live television. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was a great promo. So, Speaking of great promos, let's get into not great promos. How did you feel about the Melibration?
Well, we all know my feelings about Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
And she comes out in her Staten Island accent, and I am the queen, and shut the fuck up.
She is the crown princess of Staten Island now.
It's a crap show. She was calling the Money in the Bank case Frankie. She names the belt Cleopatra. You know, it's a shit show. And then what comes out to make the shit show remain a shit show?
Mm-hmm.
But Charlotte.
Charlotte comes out, says, you know, talks about the belt and talks about, you know, wanting it back.
She goes into the, I get what you did. You may not like it, but I understand. I come from a lineage of this. Game recognizes game.
Right, right. But it's on.
Yeah, but it's on. And who comes out to make this shit show so much better?
So much better.
But the Iconics.
The Iconics. I love these plastics.
Yes. You and I have come to agree that, one, we love the Heathers-esque, Mean Girls, yes. Plastics. Just, we love that whole shtick. And they're good at it.
They are real good at it.
Then you and I had an arm wrestling match over which one we get. Now, we both agree it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Billie Kay and Peyton Royce are both beautiful women.
But they are
so petty, I pick Peyton Royce.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
But that, when they said, do it. Go ahead and do it, Peyton. Do what you want. And she pretended to talk like Charlotte about wanting the belt back. Like, ugh, that was so mean, yet funny at the same time.
But they do that to everyone. Like, you're going to see that even more. So it's great. And they come out, they're all catty and whatever. I am going to say this. I made a comment on Twitter. A couple people agreed. I don't know if you noticed, but the Iconics... have been doing a lot of chest exercises. When they came up from NXT, all of a sudden, their pectoral region was enlarged.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
I'm just going to say hello.
Does that maybe have somebody to do with the person who's mainly in charge of the main rosters?
Dirty old man. But they start bragging about their beat down on Charlotte last week.
Right.
And we're like, oh shit, it's on. The Iconics and Carmella are going to take advantage of Charlotte. But please, leave me in, Crank.
So, Charlotte please. Then attacks the Iconics on the ramp. They don't even make it to the ring. She starts attacking them.
Don't care about that.
The Iconics start attacking her.
Don't care about
that. She needs saviors. She needs an angel to come down from heaven.
A beautiful Irish angel with fiery red hair to shoot down like straight fire with all the love I feel for her. Becky Lynch comes in.
She throws down her quinoa and goes running in.
Not tonight. Not this time. Becky Lynch.
That behind the scenes like snippet that Becky Lynch put out about her backstage eating quinoa and then realizing what's happening is like, no! Not tonight! And throws it down and then runs out.
Yep. So good. This hullabaloo leads to a straight up one-on-one match. We got Charlotte Flair wrestling Billie Kay.
Right.
And decent match.
Decent match. Not bad. But
it leads to Carmella who comes out to save Charlotte this time.
Oh, this time it's Asuka!
Asuka! Is this going to be...
You just start singing that song.
All right.
It's a new favorite in the Craig car as we drive with Podcaster Jace.
Asuka is Jace's favorite female wrestler.
Yes.
Outside of Carmella because she's dating the pancake guy.
Right.
Big E.
Right. In her mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Asuka comes on three factions.
Ooh.
I don't know, buddy.
Which is, I hope, an Asuka, Charlotte, Becky Lynch team up. We'll put her as we put her in, which we know she's good, and I hope she stays. I want her at that level. I want her at that Asuka Charlotte level.
Yes.
Not at the Naomi Natalia level.
Yes.
Like, I want her up higher.
We're all clamoring for it. I always have been, always will be. You know, Becky deserves to be in a title contention. Give her that opportunity again.
Yes. Yes.
So we get through all that. We have some other things, like after this Melibration. We find out that the Good Brothers and the Bar are coming to SmackDown.
Yep, yep.
Which leads into a goofy ass promo with R-Truth and
what show he's on. Nope. And but the handshake between Perfect 10 and R-Truth was pretty epic.
That was pretty cool.
That I liked.
And the New Day in the background going, ooh, good. Ooh, yeah, get it, boy.
We also get, what is it, Sanity? Is that who those three are?
Sanity's coming.
Coming to SmackDown?
My friend texts me, what is this chaos thing they keep up? I'm like, that's fucking Sanity coming to SmackDown.
So they're coming. So I think we're right. SmackDown is looking like the better show. The only thing that I feel Raw is getting.
Wait.
What?
Wait.
What?
Stop.
What?
Remember, SmackDown has Paige.
That's true. Does Paige and Becky Lynch sort of outweigh each other? Is that how this kind of works?
Becky Lynch is always an awesome, and she's above whatever show she's on.
Whatever show she is on, correct.
Because I love you, Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, all the wrestling talent is now going to be coordinated by Paige?
Yeah. I guess so.
Because she comes out and she cuts this crappy promo about, to quote the amazing Teddy Long, we're going to have a tag team match. And I'm looking at her like, get off the crack.
Yeah.
And learn to act.
Yeah. Yeah. But Raw does now have Mojo.
Yeah.
It's Mojo Rawley now.
Rawley.
Rawley.
All I'm saying is we got us some Mojo Rawley and Becky Lynch on the same show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
It's pretty goddamn
epic. So this is good. So overall, I think we're both going for SmackDown probably going to be the better show for a little
while. SmackDown has a lot of talent. It all depends on what the creative team does.
Right.
That's not to take anything away from Raw. No, they had a bunch of talent, kept it. And I think both shows can actually be a lot better.
Yeah. With the addition of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to Raw, I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be some huge changes over there. But SmackDown getting The Miz, I think, is going to be big for them over there. Like,
wait,
I think
speaking of The Miz and him going to SmackDown, how did you feel about the promo he cut where Jeff Hardy's in the ring and then he comes out and he's like, hey, SmackDown, are you ready for the most awesome thing? And it's me, The Miz. And then he sends back and you see his house.
Right.
And it's like, did you really think I was going to be there?
Yeah, I'm not going to be there. No, come on.
I was like, so freaking epically heel.
I'm
like,
home with my wife and my kid. Look at them. See? Smile, guys.
This is so much better than you ass.
Right.
So.
That was pretty good.
I love that one.
That was pretty good.
But all things aside,
mm-hmm.
I think we need to take a moment of clarity and get a little serious.
Serious.
For real serious.
For real serious.
Although we use the word legend.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to wrestlers.
Yes.
We lost a true legend yesterday.
That we did. That we did.
Mm-hmm. When we lost Bruno, we lost the cornerstone of what has developed into modern day wrestling.
Right. He was the linchpin to start it all, pretty much. Like, he pushed it all from the beginning.
He was the consummate good guy. If you know anything about him, he would stand up for the wrestlers, the refs, everyone behind scene. And as much as I love great characters and great wrestlers, and Bruno was before my time, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
It's hard to believe.
Going back and researching the wrestlers of the past, Bruno quickly became one of my all-time favorites. And if there truly is a Mount Rushmore of wrestling legends, he should be the cornerstone of that mountain, in my opinion.
I agree.
So with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little respect is due.
A little respect. And the man had a chest the size of a Mack truck.
God.
That is a freak of nature.
Now, I had to get that out.
Mm-hmm.
Personal moment for me, personal moment for you. We respect the gentleman. Now, let's get back into the shenanigans,
the shenanigans.
Buffoonery.
This was the big Right Coast Pro event this past weekend.
Yeah.
The fight for fame and fortune. Battle Royale to see who was going to fight in the Battle Royal and then fight Gene Snitsky for the belt afterwards.
Now, we've said it.
Yes.
We've gone on record, and we truly mean this. With all the epic talent Wright Coast Pro has, when you put that much potential, power, and skill in a ring together, you don't win that match.
No.
You survive.
You survive, exactly.
You survive that match. And who survives that match?
And survived that match was Miles Millennium himself, who had already won a match previous in the night.
Yeah.
So he was 8-0 winning that first match, 9-0 winning the Battle Royal, and then win against Big Gene Snitsky.
I think you're a win off. He's 11-0 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I kept track.
You kept track. Good.
Although, Miles Millennium and we have heat.
We do.
Because we don't appreciate his sometimes sneaky ways. We will go on record as saying this. My God, Miles Millennium, for you to survive a match with that much talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, sir. Good for you.
Good for you.
And to not have done it so, shall we say, underhandedly as sleeping powder on a pizza?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Now,
but sometimes
I do want you to know.
Sometimes cheaters get their comeuppance.
You never, you never hand a man like Snitsky a participation award.
No, no. Because when that happened,
You got to take a sweet nap.
Yeah. Yeah. And granted, this ended in a disqualification for Snitsky. But Snitsky then still keeps the belt because he may have closed fist punched Miles in the face.
Well, Miles, you may be undefeated.
Right, right.
And Miles, you survived an amazing match. And,
amazing. We got to give you that.
I will give you this. You are a very talented and professional wrestler.
Yeah.
I hope you learned a lesson, son.
Yeah. Have you ever taken one of those water bottles and put it on top of the Deer Park water bottles you put on top of a container so you can pour water out, like in a water fountain?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever thought, what if I took this and hit someone in the head with it when it's full of water?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like getting punched by Gene Snitsky's fist would be like.
I would never want to find out.
I wouldn't want to find out either.
But I do know that maybe if we are polite enough, we can get one Miles Millennium on and ask him, what does it feel like when Snitsky hits you straight on?
I mean, this was Saturday. This match happened past Saturday. We're on Thursday now. I'm thinking maybe by this weekend he will wake up.
No, I'm going to give the man his credit.
Mm-hmm.
He is back on Twitter throwing shade where shade needs to be thrown.
Ooh.
So I respect the dude.
You gotta respect game. Game respects game.
What? Amen, brother. Amen. So what turned out to be heat is growing into a respect. However, I still do not like his heelish ways.
No, we do not.
And our eyes are on him.
Our eyes are on him and whatever he does with those pizzas.
But
maybe the main leader is watching the pizzas.
Yeah, we do love us some pizza and a good nap.
And a real good nap.
So, Miles, when we get a pizza, you know.
Sorry, I couldn't do anything. I passed out for 3 days.
Anyway, Wright Coast Pro had an amazing event with this kick out.
They did.
Kickoff.
Kickoff.
And
exactly.
I just, now we move into, what is it? They're having their
impound steel cage event.
That's it, the cage match. I forgot what they called it. It's impound.
It's impound. And he will fight for the belt against the richest man in Haiti, Brian Prophet, in a steel cage.
Do you know who one of his managers is?
Who is a manager for richest man in Haiti, Brian Prophet?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? Now, Prophet was the second runner-up. So he's like the first of the ugliest.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Obviously. I mean, he's first loser.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he is.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Right.
So, if you don't think someone like Miles Millennium,
though, did beat our 200th follower, Crazy Kid Slim Jim, in a match over on Saturday night.
I don't want to talk about it.
And I mean, we like ourselves some Slim Jim.
I was just going to say, I don't want to talk
about it. He's our 200th follower. He's very important.
I don't want to follow it.
You know who doesn't follow us? Richest man in Haiti, Brian Prophet.
No.
Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
No. And people that we have heat with, Miles Millennium, we follow each other.
You know who also follows us? Big Gene Snitsky.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there. So if we're going to have to choose somebody in this steel cage match, we're obviously choosing Snitsky.
Well, we hope you don't die.
Right. We hope there are no closed fist hammers to the face.
I hope you learn a lesson from Miles. Don't hand him any type of award.
Don't.
No.
No, you hand him a delicious pizza. What you hand him with no sleeping powder.
Do you think he would know?
I don't know.
I think he'd be leery.
Mm-hmm. He probably would be.
And I think Beefcake, now that he's coming around,
mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be some comeuppance.
There might be some comeuppance. Beefcake also beat our friend Mr. Intensity.
What is going on with the Baldwin brothers
right now? I don't know. We may need to get them on, too. Have a little talk with them.
We need to get to the bottom of these questions. Some burning questions and Right Coast Pro Productions.
But their impound event, that steel cage match, is May 19th in Newark, Delaware at the Boys and Girls Club. So make sure you go on rightcoastpro.com, get those tickets. Again, you can get front row tickets, sharing nachos with the wrestlers for like $25. So
if you're so lucky.
If you're so lucky. Speaking of lucky.
Yeah.
We have our moment of this week.
Our
moment of this week.
You know, let's be the bigger fellas.
Okay.
Here.
Oh, we often are the bigger fellas. Right.
So
mm-hmm.
We threw down a challenge.
We did. We threw down a challenge. We did.
Busted Wide Open, The Wrestling Life were kind enough to answer our challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost.
We lost. We tied with Wrestling Life.
We tied with Sir Ian Dangerously.
Right. But Nick, in his weird crystal ball world, somehow beat everybody in this challenge.
Yeah.
We don't know how that happened.
But
even I don't think he knows how that happened.
And I'm going to say, Busted Wide Open and The Wrestling Life, both spectacular shows.
Both.
Both great hosts. If you don't listen to them, you should.
Mm-hmm.
They are fantastic and a lot of fun
right.
to interact with.
Right.
With that being said.
Yes. It's time for us to eat our crow.
Nick, I'm John.
I'm Craig.
We say congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
We say great work. We also say it'll never happen again.
Never.
But in our moment of, Craig, what do we have?
Here is the gloating promo itself from Nick.
Hi, this is Nick Howell.
And this is Sir Ian Dangerous.
And we are from the Busted Wide Open podcast, where we cover the hottest topics in sports entertainment and the world of professional wrestling.
So this year, the Take Two Takedown guys challenged us to see which podcast would win if we went head-to-head in direct competition on a WrestleMania Pick'ems challenge. And as it turned out, Nick, you got the highest score.
I sure did.
And congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now, thanks to an audience vote, the two podcasts were apparently playing for the ability to cut a victory promo on the other show. So I guess we're up, Nick, or rather you are, so take it away.
You got it. I'd like to think this podcast would be better off after Vince McMahon is dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by Stephanie McMahon and his doofus son-in-law.
Whoa, dude, wait. That's the pipe bomb promo, dude. You can't use that for this.
You're right. I'm sorry. Here goes again. Let me just say, after carrying the belt that proclaimed me the real world champion, I'm going to tell you all with a tear in my eye. This is the greatest moment in my life.
Dude, no.
When you walk around in this
life. No, that's Ric Flair after the Royal Rumble 92. Look, would you just cut our promo so you can let them get back to their listeners?
Of course. I'm sorry. Here it goes. You don't know what hard times is, Daddy. Hard times is when the textile workers around this country are out of work.
All right, and that's hard times.
You take your 33 and a third chance minus my 25% chance, and you get 8 1/3% chance of winning a sacrifice.
Okay, look, forget it. Thank you to John, Craig, and Jace for
challenging. You thump your Bible, and you say your prayers, and you talk about your John 3:16.
Okay, and thank you for listening to Busted Wide Open and Take Two Takedown. And we look forward to...
the crop!
We look forward to more of these competitions in the future. Thanks, guys.
How was that, man?
Yeah, it was great, dude.
No, I gotta tell you, for getting your words shoved back in your face, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great promo.
It really was.
I gotta say, just
this is what makes me angry.
I love the fact that we lost. I love the fact that we have to take the promo. But for Nick to take the time to do that, Nick and Ian to take the time to do that work. You know what? Thanks, guys.
This is why we wanted to work with this show, because they're funny.
We had a blast.
Yeah,
we have a blast with every show we work with, and I think. The biggest thing we've gotten out of our first WrestleMania as a podcast is when the big shows happen, it is a prime opportunity for all of us to come together and have fun enjoying what we all love.
Exactly.
So we should all take this time to build a community and enjoy one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With that said, I hate you all.
Yep, hate you all. Hate you all. But the people we do love are those that follow us.
Yeah, we do love followers.
On the Twitzers.
Yep.
At Take Two Takedown. Again, that's T-O-O Takedown.
You know what would also be nice?
What?
If people loved us, if we get like a rating or a comment or something.
A rating, a review, way to go, thumbs up, guys. Something on the iTunes or the Stitcher or the Podbean, wherever you listen to us from, that says, we like Take Three. We like Craig and John.
Take Three.
Take Three.
How about Take Two Takedown T3?
No, nope, just Take Three.
Take Three. All right.
We like T3. We love them. That's what we want. See, we want more of them.
We'd love us some comments.
So go for that. You can email us again, tripletbag@gmail.com.
That's the word triple, the letter T, bag.
@gmail.com. Send in all of your letters. All of the letters we get throughout the week, we go through. We find the best one. That's the one we talk about on the show. So please send us your letters, wrestling and non-wrestling related.
Yep. We'll answer anything.
We'll answer anything. That's what we're here for.
We are not choosy.
No. And because we know all of our favorite wrestling people that listen to us don't like to leave their house, because who does?
There's too much wrestling on.
There's too much wrestling on. There's Raw, there's SmackDown, there's NXT, there's 205 Live, there's Lucha. There's too much to happen.
Way too much.
Way too much.
Ring of Honor, TNA.
Don't even bother leaving
New
your
Japan.
House. Go on to take2podcast.com. Click on the Amazon link in the menu. Buy all your stuff there. You can even buy groceries on Amazon.
Yay.
You don't need to leave your house.
What's up, recluse?
Dude, just sit there, order wrestling shirts, and order nachos to eat while you're watching wrestling.
I don't see where that you could lose on that.
Nope, can't lose at all.
Not at all.
Can't lose one
and
bit.
And in some states, you can order beer from Amazon.
Ooh.
Not in the DMV area.
No.
Stupid Amazon.
Wah, wah.
So, all right. Well, that's the end of episode 27, Craig.
It is, sir. Next week, we will come back. We will have our picks for the Oil Rumble coming up.
Hopefully, we can get some friends involved in this.
That's what we're going to work on, is getting some buddies involved in this. Have some nice more pick 'em challenges, because we love doing that kind of stuff.
We just love the aftermath and all the gloating in between.
Yes. And this is my hope for the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabian history that is about to happen.
It's the only Royal Rumble.
The greatest one, then. Therefore, it will be the greatest, no matter how bad or good it is.
Until another prince has a birthday party.
Right.
They're willing to spend millions on.
My hope.
Yes.
Is that not only do me and you win any sort of pick'em challenge.
Yep, we pick.
But the Oracle herself, Jace, gets more than two. That's what I'm hoping for.
Does she know she only got two?
I did not tell her.
Okay, good.
Don't. But I do know that she watched the Iconics coming out to Charlotte at least four times today.
So she's an Iconics
fan.
She's
an Iconics fan, especially when they make fun of Charlotte.
That's awesome.
Awesome. So that is it. Episode 27. Rate, review us, be on the lookout for our Oil Rumble preview coming out next week.
Good call.
Peace.
Cilantro? Isn't that the Irish word for goodbye?
Yeah, that's close enough, right? That's what I got.
Oh no. I got nothing.
Thanks for listening to Take Two. And don't forget, I love you, Bobby Roode. Bye, Bobby Roode.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
They have an RV and they're driving around searching for Bigfoot.
Ooh. Isn't that badass?
That's badass.
Into a big thing because he threw a cup of hot coffee in Jake the Snake Roberts' face.
Oh no!
Some ongoing feud between that family and Roberts, because Roberts said something bad about his dad.
Oh no.
I know way too fucking much about wrestling.
You do know way too much.
Yeah, so we're watching it and he's like, who's the tiger guy? I'm like, that's Lince Dorado. He's like, I want to call him Honey Bear. I'm like, why? He goes, because his mask looks like a bear.
And he goes, and I say, don't kiss me, AJ.
This has been a production of WTTP Take Two Podcast. A WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP. WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP Podcast.
WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP Podcast.
WTake2Podcast.
WTake2Podcast?